Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Lovely to see you all here this morning. If you could turn to your bulletin to the back, the last page, and read with me the call to worship. I will be the leader and you will be the people. Come, rule makers, rule breakers, and you who are still finding your way. Come, whether you speak with wise words or with wise cracks, you are made in the image of God. Come into God's house. Hear God's word. Prepare to meet your maker and your match. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is greater than human strength. Some of us like certainty and structure. Some of us don't. We come by different roads, yet we are here together. We want to know God and be known by God. We are here to worship the Lord. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there." We are here, and Jesus Christ is here. We join our hearts in worship.
Good morning. Please take your hymnals and turn to number 522. While you're finding that and getting ready to stand, I just wanted you to know that you'll see lots of choir singing here today, and that's because it's our homecoming. We went on tour last Sunday to First Mennonite Church, and we wanted to share some of those songs with you today. Unfortunately, not all of our members could be here today, but the ones that are here are singing very heartily. Please stand to sing My Jesus, I Love Thee.
Have any guests who are here this morning that would like to be introduced? Wonderful. Daughter Diane from Ottawa, welcome here. Anybody else? No? Okay. We'll move on to community life. I just want to highlight a couple of announcements. Number one, Nick Peters would like to thank everyone for the thoughts, prayers, cards, visits, and calls of well wishes he received following his surgery last Tuesday. He is thankful to be a part of such an amazing and caring church family. Please continue to keep the family in your prayers as his healing continues. Number three, the annual Spring Smorg is happening on Saturday, March the 17th. That's quite soon. So please sign up. Sign up sheets for preparation, serving, and cleanup are on the table in the church lobby. For further information, please contact Lenny Lussier or Aldina Peters. There's also, I believe, in the back there, everybody's information, I think, for the directory laid out. So if feel free to check that and make sure that all of your information is correct. Are there any other announcements that need to be highlighted or anyone would like to make? No? Wonderful. Okay, well, I would invite you all to stand up and greet your neighbors, say hello to somebody you don't know, and share God's peace. It's wonderful to see such good connections, and I know we could keep visiting for most of the service, but I would invite you to find your seat, and we'll continue with the service. Wonderful. So for the prayer of God's people today, what I've chosen comes from the Lenten information from the conference that they gave to us. And this is a confession, but I believe it is really a good prayer. So I would invite you all to bow and pray with me. God, we call you ruler of all, but sometimes we make excuses. We try to avoid applying your rules to our actions and interests. At other times, we hold so tightly to rules that we break relationships. It is easier to imagine that you are like us than it is for us to be like you. We judge ourselves by success, but you judge us by how we treat others. Help us to face our truth. Forgive us when we fail. Give us the courage to keep trying to live as you love. Amen. We'll now have the choir sing, Lord, listen to your children pray.
Children pray.
Don't touch that. Okay. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's story.
Good morning. I think we'll just wait for the queerings to come. I'm glad they're here. Okay, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about God's love. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, Mr. White and I were holding a giant tablecloth over top of you, and that was supposed to help you remember that God's love covers us all. And last week was very exciting. Does anyone remember what happened last week? Nobody, they were all sleeping. Last week we had a long chain, do you remember that? And Mr. White went all the way to the back of the church, and that was supposed to help you remember that God's promises and love last as long as forever. And today I have a prayer shawl that I was very honored to receive from our church when our family was having a tough time. And someone in this church, I'm not exactly sure who, made this for me. And today, it's kind of like the first story where God's love covered us all. I want you to look really close at the shawl. Is it just like a simple thing? Or does it look kind of complicated? Especially if you think about it, it used to be one long, skinny piece of yarn. Do you think whoever made it just sat down one day and put it all in a great big pile and then magically it turned into this? Is that what happened? No. I know a little bit about crocheting, not about doing something this beautiful, but there are rules and patterns to follow, right? Now think about when you go to school. What is the first thing you do on the first day of school with your teacher, Nadia, Connor? What do you do? Talk about what? Let's talk about rules. No. Yeah, you talk about summer break, but then you need to talk about how your classroom's going to work, right? There has to be some rules. So your teacher probably says things like, only one person can talk at a time. We keep our hands and our feet to ourselves. If you have something to say, you have to raise your hand. If you want to go to the bathroom, you should do that at recess. Those are all kinds of rules, right? How many of you like breaking rules? How many of you like it when someone else breaks a rule and you get to tell on them? I love that, I have to say. I love telling on people. That's one of the things I have to work on. But when I tell on people, do I want somebody to say, oh, you were a very bad choice. That's not great. I want somebody to be really strict when I say, hey, Summer was running in the hall. Do I want someone to just say, Summer, please don't run in the hall? Or do I want Summer to go to the principal's office and cry? How about when I break a rule? How do you think I want people to treat me when I break a rule? Do I want to go to the office and cry? Or do I want someone to say, oh, Frau White, just don't worry about running? What do you think? Help me out here. Jacob, do you like big punishments when you break a rule? Or do you like someone to say, we love you anyway, please don't do it again? Which one? First one or the second one? The second one. We love you, please don't do it again, right? That's how God is. God loves, gives us rules, and he asks us to follow them. And when we break them, there are sometimes consequences, but mostly he just loves us. And we are supposed to behave that way to the people in our lives as well. So try not to remember the rule that was broken, but remember that we love each other and that we want to be kind and generous to each other. Okay, can we bow for prayer? God, thank you for giving us rules that can be trusted. Please make us be wise in your rules. Amen. And you get to go to Sunday school. Have fun.
This morning comes from Exodus 20, 1 to 17. And when I was asking Chris, who's preaching today, what he wanted me to read, I said, is this enough? Do you want any more? And he said, well, I could give you like 16 other things to read and we'd be here for 10 minutes, but we'll just stick with this one. So here we go. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth below or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for their sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all the thing that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Thank you. Sorry.
All right. So today, I get to talk about one of the most exciting topics in Christianity, following the rules. Okay, that's enough cheering. I know it's a very exciting topic to discuss, but let's do our best to contain our excitement so that we can talk about this for a little while. All joking aside, following the rules is one of the most foundational aspects of Christianity. Now, I'm calling it following the rules for effect, but what we're really talking about today isn't really following the rules, but entering into covenant with God. First, I suppose I should explain exactly what a covenant is. A covenant is an agreement made between two or more parties. It's an agreement of what the different parties involved will do and what they will not do. Now, that doesn't really do terribly much to explain what a covenant really is from a biblical perspective, so I'd like to take a few minutes to go through some of the big ones from the Bible. Now, there have been many different covenants between God and humanity throughout the Bible. The first covenant, perhaps unsurprisingly, was between God and Adam and Eve. God would give them authority over the earth and over the creatures in it. They were given the plants for food. They were to have children and to inhabit the earth. And they weren't to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So it started off pretty basic. Later, there was another covenant that God made, a covenant with Noah. The original responsibilities from the covenant with Adam and Eve were reinforced for people, and some new things were added, further expanding the law with further permissions and with further restrictions. Humanity was still to be fruitful and to multiply, but now we were given animals to eat also, although we were still not supposed to eat the meat that still had blood in it, and we were not to commit murder. God then added a promise of his own. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And this covenant was not just for God's chosen people, and not even just for people. This was a promise that God made to all of creation. I really like this covenant. Permission to eat meat? Sounds good to me. Don't murder? Fair enough. That one seems to make sense. And then the promise that God won't flood the world again. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Next, we move along a ways, and we have the covenant of Abraham. This is the covenant that God made with Abraham, and it didn't really add any more rules to follow. It just added to the promises that God made. This was the first covenant that was made to a specific group of people, the descendants of Abraham, and not a covenant for all. In this covenant, God promised, first, to make of Abraham a great nation, and bless Abraham and make his name great, so that he will be a blessing to those who bless him, and curse him who curses him. And all peoples on the earth would be blessed through Abraham. Second, to give Abraham's descendants all of the land from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates. Later, this land became to be referred as the Promised Land, or the Land of Israel. And three, to make Abraham the father of many nations and of many descendants, and to give the whole land of Canaan to his descendants. And circumcision was to be a permanent sign of the everlasting covenant that Abraham made, so a sign for him and his male descendants, which is kind of another rule to follow, but really more of just a sign that they accept the promises of God. Next, we move on to the big one, the one that we talked about today in the scripture reading, and that would be the covenant that God made with Moses and the people of Israel as they were fleeing from Egypt. In this covenant, God makes five promises again. First, promises that Israel will be God's prized possession. Second, that the kingdom of Israel will be a kingdom of royal priests, and that means that everyone in the kingdom will have access to God. Third, that Israel will be a holy nation. Fourth, that God will defend Israel from all of her enemies. And fifth, God will be merciful, will be gracious, and will be forgiving. And this covenant asks three things of the people. It asks that the people love God and not to put any other value where God belongs in their heart. This covenant says that God will forgive transgression and sin, even though it does also add the rules, the Ten Commandments. It's a goal, but just breaking a commandment won't separate you from God. You can still be forgiven. And three, to trust in God, to trust that he knows best. Of course, there are the laws that were passed down, the Ten Commandments, as we read today, probably the most famous rules in all of the Bible. But those laws are not what decides whether or not God would hold up his end of the bargain. They are the rules that we should follow to live in best relationship with God and in best relationship with each other. And this brings us to the new covenant, the covenant of Jesus. The covenant of Jesus is tied to the person of Jesus, that he died for our sins so that we may be forgiven. We are to trust in him and follow his teachings. In this covenant, we are known that we are going to sin, and we are asked to repent, but ultimately, our sins are forgiven. And unlike the covenants of Moses and Abraham, this covenant isn't made with a nation or a specific group of people. It's one that has personal buy-in that anyone can join. There are promises made to individuals rather than nations. It's more about the one-on-one relationship between individuals and the relationship between individuals and God than any covenant since the first one with Adam and Eve. All of these covenants throughout the Bible are quite a bit more similar than we might think. Often, when we think of Old Testament covenants, we think of sets of onerous rules that have to be followed, or swift judgment will come from God. But really, all of these covenants really just want the same thing. They want us to live in a healthy relationship with each other, with the world around us, and with God. I think that this quote from Marcus Borg's book, The God We Never Knew, Beyond Dogmatic Religion to a More Authentic Contemporary Faith, sums this up really well for me. God wills our liberation, our exodus from Egypt. God wills our reconciliation, our return from exile. God wills our enlightenment, our seeing. God wills our forgiveness, our release from sin and guilt. God wills that we see ourselves as God's beloved. God wills our resurrection, our passage from death to life. God wills for us food and drink that satisfy our hunger and our thirst. God wills, comprehensively, our well-being. Not just my individual well-being, but the well-being of all of us and the well-being of the whole of creation. In short, God wills our salvation, our healing, here on earth. The Christian life is about participating in the salvation of God. The laws that we often think of as the covenants themselves aren't really the covenants. They're more the trappings that go around them. The covenants are more about establishing relationship with God. The rules that come along with them are guidelines that help us make choices that are in line with the values that we want to adhere to. Much like when we have rules for how children need to behave, these rules make us better people. Speaking of children, this topic reminds me a lot of the work I've been doing these days. For those who don't know, I've been working at a before and after school child care program for almost 2 years now, and recently I've started working at a half-day child care program for kids who are in kindergarten. In these two jobs, I often need to enforce rules that kids don't really want to follow, and they often try their best to get around some of these rules. They sometimes just see them as an arbitrary list of fun things that they're not allowed to do, and they just want to do whatever it is that they want to do. In this context, I'm sure you can see where getting around the rules quickly leads to problems for the kids. When they don't follow safety rules, they can quickly end up hurting themselves. When they don't follow behavior rules, quickly they ruin the experiences of other kids, and they end up hurt or with hurt feelings. And that's how it is with the laws that God sets down for us. They aren't just there as some kind of test to see how well we can follow them. They aren't there to score us on how well we can do to collect points. They are there to protect us. They're there to protect our relationships with ourselves, with each other, with all of creation, and with God. As the covenants in the Bible become more focused on promises from God, the list of demands of us to live better relationship grows and grows. In the beginning, there are relatively few... In the beginning, there were relatively few laws. Simply not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then, by the time of Moses, there were many more laws, such as the Ten Commandments. And Jesus took things even further than that. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, not only should we not murder, we shouldn't even be angry with one another. Not only should we not commit adultery, but we shouldn't even look lustfully, or we'll have committed adultery in our hearts. Not only should we restrict ourselves to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but Jesus says, if someone slaps us on the right cheek, we should turn the other one also. Not only do we need to love our neighbor, we also need to love our enemies. More and more is asked of us, but more and more is also given. And these rules are not simply laws that we must follow because they have some far-off eternal consequence. They have the consequence here and now. When we follow these rules, we bring people closer together. We build community around ourselves. And we get closer to the heart of God and the unity of all creation. Perhaps another way we can look at it is through another sort of covenant. The covenant of marriage. In marriage, we make vows to each other. We vow to love each other, to cherish each other, to stay by each other's side, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health. We make vows to trust each other, to forgive each other, to care for each other, in general, to try to better understand each other, among many other possible vows. Now, these vows aren't some set of onerous rules that are inflicted upon us. They're really more the natural consequence of love. We want to do all these things because we love our spouse. And that's also what God's covenant intends for us, to build loving relationships, not to be a burden, not to be a way to get God's love, but the natural outcome of being loved by God and of loving God and loving his creation. So let us go out with hearts tuned to God's will, tuned to love each other first, and to do our best to to bring out the best in others.
Please turn to number 338 in the blue hymnal, I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace. I'm going to take a risk and ask you to stand and also ask the men to sing verse 2 and the women sing verse 3 and all of us sing the refrain together. So please stand.
Sorry, now that you've all sat down, I'd like to ask you to stand up again for the benediction. So there's four lines to the benediction, and I'd ask that you repeat them after me. We are people of God.
We are people of God.
We go in God's love.
We go in God's
love. To extend God's love.
To extend God's love.
And live God's promise. Amen. Please be seated, and the choir will do our last song for us.
Mm-hmm.